Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, before we start this segment, I have a little bit of a programming note I need to make you aware of. There's going to be a Broncos training camp special on The Fan the next two Saturdays, and it's going to start at 9 o'clock. So Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is going to move over to 1600 ESPN, and we're going to be on from 10 to noon for the next two Saturdays. That's 1600 AM ESPN from 10 to noon for the next two Saturdays. You can also listen to 1600 AM online. You can get it through the Fan app on the menu or the Fan online, fan.com. And we'll podcast everything also in case you miss it. Let's go to the phones. Joining us from Tightline Outdoors is Dustin Sigler. Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning, Terry. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and from talking to you early in the week, so is the fishing.
Absolutely. It hasn't slowed down a bit. You're in your peak summer period right now, which means metabolisms are high and fish are eating.
So usually this is a transition period, Dustin, where in fact, we're kind of behind when we a lot of times we'll see the shad have hatched and the fish have moved offshore away from structure. And there's always some fish shallow. I don't care what time of the year it is. Some fish just love to stay shallow. But a lot of those fish are transitioning and they're becoming more suspended. And people think they're not biting, but they have to change techniques because the fish are doing something different. After talking to you earlier, that transition has been a little late. It isn't complete. You're kind of seeing both sides. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, as you stated, fish are, you're always going to have shallow fish. And, you know, some days they're shallower than others. And what we've been seeing recently is some days we'll go out early in the morning and they'll be in that, 10 to 15 foot zone on structure. And then some mornings you go out and they're not there, but they're even shallower than that. So anywhere from 4 to 8 foot of water. And then when you go from there out to deeper water, specifically targeting walleye, you just start to see them suspending over that deep water with the hordes of bait. I mean, there's just bait fish everywhere in the system, everywhere that I know has forage base. You know, the spawning is complete and these fish are moving out of the shallows, starting to ball up and school up, in, as you would say, and the walleye are right there in hot pursuit behind them. So,
is it kind of a time of day thing right now? Or do you think it's going to transition even more? Kind of take us through how you approach it on a given day, and then how much it's probably going to change.
Absolutely. Early in the day, your low light periods, and I'm speaking also for later in the day, it's kind of the same. But of course, you're going to have fish pulled up shallower. Or on top of structure, first light and last light. And that bite is probably the best bite you're going to have. And I'm using blade baits, reaction style baits. I like to fish fast and aggressive. You can still implement bait. Leeches and crawlers will still work. Leeches probably being more dominant, whether it's on a Lindy rig or a stand-up jig head fished on this structure. And like I said, it could be anywhere from 4 foot of water to 12 foot of water, I would say, early in the day. And then at times I've been out guiding and all of a sudden the fish are just gone. I don't see them on any of the structure that I was catching them on early in the morning. And so what I'll then do is I'll start pulling out my crankbaits. And of course, the bait forage right now is smaller. So I'm using small salmo hornets, small flicker shads, small crankbaits, and I'm pulling them way high in the water column. So I'm not actually staying on the structures I was fishing in the morning in that shallower water. I'm actually pulling it over deep water, and I use planer boards. I put them back, anywhere from honestly 15 foot behind the board, all the way back to 55 feet behind a planer board, and then just kind of spread lines out. And realistically, there's no rhyme or reason. It's just go trolling over deep water for these fish, and you'll be surprised at what you're going to catch.
Well, a couple of things come into play there. And one is the fact that because these fish are so shallow, it's very difficult to pick them up on your sonar. You may see the bait balls, but they're going to be very difficult to see, and they move away from your boat as you go over them a little bit typically, and so that it's very difficult to see them. So you almost have to fish for them. And the other thing, what you said about putting the bait maybe only 15 feet back and one that doesn't dive very deep, because I can tell you right now from the research I've done that when they're on structure, like the ones you're fishing in the morning, you can fish right at the bottom. But when these fish suspend over deep water following that bait, they will almost never strike down at a lure. Don't you find you almost always have to have the bait above them?
Absolutely. Yeah, we call it feeding up. So their eyes are looking up at food. And you're exactly right when you're talking about your sonar. You could be driving along and you're not seeing those nice walleye arcs. Because honestly speaking, they're just above where your sonar is reading. You're not getting a clear picture. The cone is so small from, you know, the first 4 feet of water, even if you're in 20 foot. And so you're not picking up those fish that are literally subsurface. They're only, you know, as deep as 5 feet below the surface. And so targeting those fish when you're not seeing them is kind of a different thing. But I will say I had my Panoptix live scope on the other day while I was trolling, watching kind of what's going on. Where are the fish hanging out? Where am I seeing walleye swimming around? And it blew my mind to see so many fish literally subsurface, you know, 3 foot down. So you're absolutely right on that.
Yeah, it can be. As we transition, do you see this structure bait at low light holding up for a while, or do you see more and more of the fish transitioning to the suspended shad?
You know, in years past, I think it's going to hold like this all the way till ice up, to be honest with you. We're going to still have fish on structure, and honestly, and I'm speaking, you know, specifically to shallower bodies of water. When you start talking Chatfield and Aurora and deeper bodies of water, then you'll have a little bit of a different thing going on there, because you have stratification in the water, or, you know, you get a thermocline developed, which will pull fish in different directions. But generally speaking, we're always going to have fish on structure early, and then you're going to have them out suspended under bait. Typically, your big fish are going to go in and out, whether they're going to be on bait fish suspended over deep water, or they're going to be on real shallow structure, as shallow as, you know, 6 to 8 foot. And this will just continue to get better and better as we get into fall, and you'll use more and more reaction baits and kind of ditch the live bait altogether in the coming weeks. To be honest with you, I'm going to go primarily all hard baits for the rest of the season once we hit August.
Well, there's so much bait in some of these lakes. The shad are so prolific that trying to compete with them in an eating type situation is almost impossible. But if you can get that reaction, you had a great anomaly. I think it was you that told me it's like when you throw somebody a baseball and not looking, they turn around, they have to put their hand up and react, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Is these fish see bait fish every 5 seconds or something swimming by them, you know, and so at the end of the day, you just need to present it as if it is an easy meal for them, you know, put it on the golden platter and say, here, Mr. Walleye, take this. And that's really what's going to do it for you. I'm just a big component of just using something that's, I'm able to fish fast, quickly. I don't want to sit too long and wait for a bite. I want them to come to me or me to throw it right in their face and make them react to that bait. So anything I can fish quickly, on a piece of structure, move to another one is more my technique this time of year for sure.
Now, you talked about the shad-based lake like Cherry Creek and Aurora, of course, Pueblo, Boyd Reservoir up here. Even Horsetooth has some shad. What about lakes like Aurora where shad probably aren't the main population? Is that fishing totally different?
It can, for sure. So you have, you know, perch and crayfish out at Aurora. That's kind of your main base of forage. And so you're going to have, they have a ton of weeds out at Aurora Reservoir. So you're going to have a ton of fish real, real shallow in those weeds. You have a bunch of perch minnows that will be in the weeds right now. And then you'll definitely have deeper fish out on bigger mud flats where those crayfish like to hang out. And so we see, you know, that lake's always going to be a little bit behind our shallower bodies of water as far as temperature and what we're seeing happen as far as turnover and water changes. Because it's a bigger, deeper, clearer body of water. But I'd say right now your fish in Aurora are going to be kind of deep, and and in and around that thermocline just above it. You know, you have dissolved oxygen down below, and so that warmer water is going to hold the fish up high because it has most of the oxygen. It's where the water's moving. And so, again, that's probably going to be in that 25-foot range and shallower that you're going to be wanting to target fish.
Let's switch gears real quick before we run out of time. And another bite that you've told me was on fire was the pike bite up in the mountains.
Yeah, anywhere in the mountains that's got pike and weeds, it's dynamite right now. These pike are feeding heavily, metabolism's high. You know, I was told that pike this time of year are eating, you know, about 3 rainbows a day. And so when you're looking like that, these fish are looking to eat. We're fishing fairly shallow water for them. A lot of people probably overlook weed cover, and we're looking for giant weed flats. We've been pulling several master anglers out of the high country bodies of water when it comes to pike and using very aggressive tactics, such as buzz baits for a topwater bite, a big jerk baits, or anything you can imitate a trout in a sense swimming through there has been very productive. Spinner baits, because you have forage baits that's, you know, young of the year fish, a spinner bait's a great presentation for them as well. But fishing weeds and having to pull the weeds off your hook every other cast is can be a bit of a challenge, but it's been an absolutely incredible bite, to be honest with you.
I think you told me you caught 4 master angler pike in 2 trips this last week.
Yep, absolutely. And clients were very happy with that.
How big is a master angler pike?
36 inches is what they classify a master angler right now. And ours were right in that 38 range. So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, 4 fish in that 38-inch range is definitely something to be proud of. It just shows the quality of fishing right now, or the quality of the fish at these bodies of water right now.
And a 38-inch pike in Colorado, it rivals one that's over 40 when you get up in like Canada or Minnesota, because they're eating these trout and they get so heavy. They are almost as big around as they are long.
Absolutely. They are brutes. And then they're, I mean, the one I did put a scale on one of our bigger ones that was right at that 38 inch mark. And yeah, it's 15 pounds. So, I mean, and just a gut on it, like you wouldn't believe. So, and just an incredible bite. That they hit harder than any fish that I've ever fished for, fight extremely hard. And this time of year, it's hard to beat going up and chasing these fish for sure.
Last thing, I want to change gears one more time. I know you're a big fan of Lake McConaughey, which we talk about a lot on this show. They're actually partners to the show. What have you heard out there? How are the water levels? How's the fishing?
Yeah, water levels are definitely dropping. It's an irrigation and a power plant lake, so they're always dropping water level. Currently, they're at 66% water temps, you know, in the 70s, mid-70s, high 70s. Most all of your docks are available as far as Spillway Bay, the lower ramp, Divers Bay, Martin Bay, Lemoyne, Cedar View. Both of those are available. Of course, Lake Ogallala, you can go and fish that as well. Both ramps are available. It's fishing good. So a lot of the trees, submerged timber, the fish have moved out to deeper structure, whether that's your channel edge or river edges. Around submerged timber. And so a lot of the guys I know out there are pulling spinner baits and they're smacking them on top of the tree. They're using lead core line, getting those baits down to those trees. And that's been creating a lot of success. Here in the coming about 3 weeks or so, 2 to 3 weeks, they're going to have a head-to-head fishing competition out there. I'm sure a lot of walleye anglers are familiar with that. And that should be a great event to watch and look out for, just to learn that body of water, watch some pros fish it. But we should see slabbing spoons and spinner baits and crank baits really start to be the main focus out there.
All right. Lots of great information, Dustin. If people want to get a hold of Tight Lines, either for a trip or for more information, how do they do it?
Yeah, you can go on our Facebook page, Tight Line Outdoors, tightlineoutdoors.com. Find us on there as well. Give us a phone call. We'd love to get you out on the water, whether it's pike fishing, walleye fishing, or anything that you guys want in between there.
All right, thank you. Lots of great information. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Terry.
You bet. Dustin Sigler from Tightline Outdoors. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, our dog expert, Ben Garcia, is going to join us. And we have been experiencing a lot of dog rescues this year. We're going to help you try to avoid that happening to your dog. And Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.